Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Sales Change 6th episode. This episode was recorded before the big coronas clampdown, so it's a really interesting one. We chat to Caroline Hearn about how she left the army and transitioned into the corporate world, something that really resonates with me as I did the same. We get some great nuggets of advice on how to be a top field sales rep and a sales leader. We talk about imposter syndrome and how it affects women in the business world. We also touch on how Caroline built her network to succeed and how it helped in many scenarios over the years. There's a bit of banter and we talk about the future of CSE consulting. Also, Caroline answers the Sales Change 5 questions. Remember, as Julio says at the end of every podcast episode, visit www.saleschange.co.uk, sign up for the newsletter. You'll hear loads of stuff about the podcast first, and you'll get a little ray of sunshine in your inbox every Monday morning at 9:45. We all need that in these times. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Caroline. Welcome to the Sales Change podcast. So tell me a bit about you.
Hi, Matt. Good morning. Lovely to be here. Well, thanks for the opportunity.
That's all right.
Gosh, where do I start? Well, being from the Isle of Wight, I decided there's a big old world out there. So I joined the military at the tender age of 18. So I joined the army and it put me in good stead rather than the main kind of industry sectors of hospitality, tourism on the island, and I did hotel and catering at college. So naturally, I joined as a chef in the army, and I ended up going abroad for 9 years. But after 18 months, 2 years, I retraded to the Royal Signals. So after 12 years of being in the forces, I came back to the UK and decided to settle in Dorset, near enough but far enough, but still on the coast and right on the beach, which I absolutely love. And I naturally, I just went into sales.
How did you fall into sales?
I've always been a massive people's person. I love building relationships and building rapport. I can make friends easily. So I just felt that opening doors was kind of natural to me. And to be a good salesperson, you have to be a good door opener. But equally, I looked at it, I love the autonomy. So I think most salespeople like the freedom.
Yeah, they're in charge of their own destiny.
Absolutely, and the flexibility. But also you can write your own wage. I'm not materialistic, but we need money to live, right? And, you know, when I came back from Germany, I left the forces. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a house. And within a year...
It's scary, right? Leaving the military.
It was a little bit daunting. Yeah, a little bit daunting. And because I didn't go back home, I didn't have any family in Dorset. So I rented. I got some temporary work.
I think that's unique about military people is that they can settle anywhere. I mean, I've lived in Basingstoke, London. I've lived in Suffolk. I've lived in Hampshire.
Yeah.
And Dorset is now my home.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of being in the military. You're not afraid to just set up base anywhere. It's great to have that freedom.
If somebody said, Caroline, come to the States and live for 5 years and we're going next month, I would do it. I'm quite spontaneous.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I don't mind a little bit of risk. I'm not a massive risk taker, but I would settle. And it's a big old world out there and life is just far too short. So,
So to bring you back to your conversation, what was your first sales job?
So I joined a corporate. So I joined a corporate right at the bottom as a field sales representative, banging doors, basically. I didn't have a customer base for the first month, so I had to develop business targeted. It was within the office supplies and products industry. And the reason
I know the company.
Yeah. should I say the company? Am I allowed? Okay.
You can say
at the time it was Office International, you know, big national organization, big blue chip. And it's now known as Lyrico.
Yeah.
And I spent 13 years with the company. Brilliant training, amazing platform.
So what sort of sales training did you have?
Oh, it was very intense. It was a 15-week period, but it was a week. Full in-house induction, you know, going from the sales sequence right from the start, from knocking that door into closing the sale.
Yeah.
Presentation skills, features, benefits, you know.
Those are the core skills of any salesperson, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. It really, really put me in good stead. And I think just having that military background, I'm quite a methodical person. I like detail. I do dot the I's and cross the T's. So I was a sponge. I just absorbed. I took it on board. They were able to mold me.
Yeah.
And
which is a unique skill that has emanated from the military.
Yeah.
When you're in the military, you can adapt and overcome to any situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
like a chameleon.
Yeah. So I've got no regrets whatsoever about joining up, and I would recommend that to every 16-year-old out there. Bring back the National Service, maybe. But not quite, but, you know, just an opportunity, going back to the flow where we were. But yeah, the training was really, really thorough. Hard work, and then you'd go back out in the field for a couple of weeks, and you'd go back to head office, and the head office was in Telford. I covered Dorset, you know, West Dorset it was, so it's quite rural. And so you'd go back to head office. I think it was just because it was back in, 1999. So that's what, 21 years ago?
Yeah.
So that's quite scary, isn't it? And so there was more in-house induction, but I absolutely loved it. And the reason why I chose office products was I kind of thought, do you know what? This is a consumable. Every door, every floor, every business uses that product. So that's why I chose that product. And I stayed in office supplies for just under 16 years, because when I left Lyrico, I went to the competition. And
were you nabbed, or did you?
I was nabbed. I was nabbed. Yeah. They were like, "Oh, I want this Caroline Swain." That was my previous name. I'm now married. I'm now Caroline Hearn. And yeah, I had a good reputation within the office supplies industry.
And this would have been before LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
So it was by name.
Yeah. Well, when I joined, it was before mobiles. We had to go to a call box and call in on and check on our voicemails on the call box.
See,
yeah.
Young salespeople don't get this nowadays.
I know. It was crazy. And for my first, for my first 6 months, there was no mobile phones. And we used to have to use landlines at home, fax machines for our weekly reports.
I mean, in 99, I was still in the military.
Yeah.
And to phone home, we didn't have, I think towards the end of my military career, I started getting a mobile phone. But to phone home, you had to go to the phone box in the middle of the regimental square. And there used to be a queue of four or five people deep of an evening, because you'd just call home. So it was way before mobile phones. And it was just, a different world.
I know, scary, right? I know. Yeah. I know. It's so easy now, isn't it? And, everything's just a hand.
Everything's connected.
Yeah.
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 So you've worked at Lyrico. Tell me about your corporate career, because you've done it for 20-odd years now, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, corporate-wise, it was about 18 years, 17, 18 years. So I left Lyrico. So within 18 months as a field sales representative, I was running my own sales team, got promoted to manager.
Did you have any training to be a leader?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
And that's unique.
Oh, I have to say, brilliant organisation.
So what sort of training did you do to become a leader?
Again, well, when you became, so I was put on an area sales manager induction. So it was all about leadership skills, and it was all about, when you take on a team, covering one-to-ones, appraisals, you were taught lots of HR issues, but also it was all about recruitment. It was all about coaching, counselling, control, training, development, because you're only as good as your team, right?
Yeah.
And my target was based on my team. Eventually, I had 12 sales representatives. Covering
throughout
the Southwest.
And they all have their own individual personal problems.
Yeah.
Their own,
sometimes I'd put a bottle of wine in the fridge in the morning. so I needed that glass of wine when I'd come home. But no, I ran a very, very successful team, and we won lots of awards nationally. I'd won two national awards even before I became a sales manager. And then, you know, that with Lyrico, there was lots of promotions. And of course, promotion came with success and rewards. But you had to work really, really hard to get that. They weren't just handed to you on a plate.
Yeah.
But even with an area manager, within 3 years, if you hitting a certain target, then you'd be promoted to senior area sales manager. So when I became an area manager, we also got involved with new recruits induction as well. So that kind of kept your training alive as well, you know, from the head office, from the best practice. So that was really, really good. And then when I became a senior area manager, I also became a regional manager. So I did field training, sales training within the field.
Do you spend a lot of time out in the field with your sales team?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I probably had.
Because I think that's lacking now in today's sort of sales society. Yeah. Sales reps go out and the sales managers sit behind a desk checking CRM, checking numbers.
I was so hands-on. In fact, I was probably too hands-on. If I was to do it again, and if I'd advise anybody to do it again, I would advise to work smarter in terms of, yeah, it's important to support them in the field and do activity with them and show rather than tell, show, because that's really important. However, my days were so, so long. And okay, you know, I've got bags full of energy anyway, even back then. But I felt that I needed to become more that helicopter. And I was probably too hands on, really. Yeah. And that would be the only area that I would change. So
but that's a retrospective look. When you're in that bubble.
It's hard to get that balance. And yeah, you know, I mean, I was area manager for what, 10 years? So, you know, it is hard to get that balance, but I think it's quality rather than quantity. So I would do field accompaniments. You know, I'd meet them for 8:45 in the morning, and that could be 2 hours from my door.
Yeah. So you're up early.
Oh, yeah. Early start. And that's ladies, you know, we have hair and makeup to do, right? So
do us guys.
Yeah, well, hair maybe. Although looking at your hair today, Matt, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm only joking. I do like a bit of banter, and we could get away with it because we're both ex-military, so we could get away with it. So I've probably gone a bit red now. So
you'd be out in the field for 2 hours.
Yeah. So in hindsight, going back to my field accompaniments, sometimes I'd be with them till like 5:30, and then And reflecting back, I used to think, why am I doing that? And I'd feel guilty because really, then I wouldn't get home till 7:30. Then I'd have emails and paperwork to do. So my days were very, very long.
But I guarantee the salesperson that you're with would take value out of that.
Well,
massively.
I think it's just that having that respect. That's kind of how I looked at it.
But they take value out of that. Accompaniment because you're showing them pointers and telling them exactly where they're going right and what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
But they'd also think, because I thought this when I had field accompaniments in one of my jobs, I'd also think that boss has got a really easy job. He just has to sit in my car, order the coffee and take notes whilst I drive around and do all the hard work. Lo and behold, when you get into that position then you then realise, oh no.
Well, I'd go into calls with them. Yeah. I would bang doors with them. You know, because I wanted to show them because I'd had a successful
That's one piece of advice start. That I'd give to all sales leaders now is to get out in the field with your staff.
Absolutely. Bang on. Yeah. Absolutely. Be hands on. Show them. Don't tell them. Don't, as you said, don't hide behind a desk. And because there's lots of these different CRM systems around now, and believe you me, I love CRM systems, you know, and I work with businesses now and help set them up and work with so many different ones. But too many leaders, as you said, just focus on the numbers. And results are important. It's good to focus on results. However, it's...
You can't change numbers from behind the desk.
Absolutely. How do they get those numbers? What can you do to help them develop to increase those numbers? Yeah, just be with your salespeople more. So, and that put me in good stead.
So you got into a position then in the corporate world where you were improving businesses and changing sales processes. What was your biggest success, would you say, out of all that time that you spent in the corporate world, what would be your biggest success?
Gosh, I'd say, because there's quite a lot of successes as a team, but throughout the years with Lyrico, so what that was 13 years, every year So we always had a sales league, national sales league. And bearing in mind, our area was the southwest. So primarily it was Dorset, Somerset, only half of Dorset. So it wasn't Poole Bournemouth. So the cutoff was where the Purbex, going down to Devon, up to kind of North Somerset. So it's quite rural. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any, the only city we had actually was Exeter. Okay. Every year at our sales conference, I always had one of my salespeople on stage, always, every year. And some of them would be in the top three.
So you're living vicariously through your team. The success is generated.
And because I'd been on the stage twice as a sales representative, you know, for my first 2 years, I was on the stage. And when you're being recognised and rewarded like that in front of 500 people or more, because, you know, it's a big sales force at that time, it's such a massive feel-good factor. You know, it's just great for your credibility, respect, you know, that respect, like, trust. But equally, you know, it helps obviously with your promotions and your pay. You know, we work to live, yeah. That would be my kind of most proudest moment. And then from that, you know, we'd win team of the year, we'd win regional team of the year, new business team of the year.
Do you recognise that success in yourself? Do you recognise that I've achieved that? Or is it something like...
Yeah.
Because we were talking just before the podcast about imposter syndrome. And that sometimes it's, especially being a woman in a corporate world, it's difficult to identify that you're that successful person. Maybe it's the company, maybe it's the culture that's within that company. But did you recognise it yourself as a team, or is it?
I'd say I recognise it more now.
Yeah.
Being self-employed as a freelance. At the time, I had that structure behind me. I was confident. There were a lot of women managers. I'd say there was more male. You know, there's always that gender balance and that equality balance. But yeah, I'd say the imposter syndrome is definitely more common with women.
Do you find it harder in the corporate world as a woman? That's a big question.
Personally, I didn't. Personally, because I just got my head down and got on with it. I was a one tail. You know, I just did it.
Yeah.
But I can imagine and I saw that people did struggle a little bit.
Why is that, do you think?
I just, particularly in sales, you know, you need that confidence. You need that kind of positive attitude. You know, we're all different, but also you need to be competitive.
Yeah.
And, you know, good salespeople are naturally competitive. And sometimes bad losers, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Not so bad that you want to throw your toys at the pram.
If you're a male, possibly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was part of the Southern region and I'd say we had a good balance with women and male managers. And we did have a real good, strong camaraderie.
Yeah. So it comes down to the inclusiveness that you feel within a group. So if you, let's say, example, Lyrico, and you've got a large group of both male and female leaders, the interactions between the leaders and the way that you can bounce off each other and banter in a sense. Because I think coming from the military, there isn't that gender divide because women are equally as capable as men in certain respects, like assault courses and the tests, the fitness tests. Everybody has to reach a certain specific minimum. But then if you then transition then into the corporate world, which you've done and I've done from a military background, I think then you realise there are no barriers, there are no sort of roadblocks to success. You just get on and do it. And if you complete the task ahead of you, you're going to get promoted or you're going to get rewarded for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of my colleagues that I was managers with, mainly females, they've left the corporate world and set up on their own and then and doing very, very well. And I keep in touch with them via the social media channels, and in fact I saw one last week and good on them.
Yeah,
you know, I really respect and I love that empowerment and just done really, really well,
which brings us nicely onto what you're doing now. So you've left the corporate world in a sense.
So after kind of office supplies, I was headhunted again, and it was actually my previous regional sales director. And he was setting up a franchise with imports and exports, and we had a great relationship. I'd worked with him for years, still best of friends now, really good mates. And I helped him set up a company called In Express, and we were a courier business. And, you know, we went from nothing to being the number two franchise out of, I believe it was nearly 75 nationwide. So, you know, again, based in Dorset, doing really, really well. And I was doing a lot of networking, and I kind of got to the point where I thought, do you know, I'm working really, really hard lining somebody else's pocket. And although, you know, I loved my boss to bits and we had a great relationship, but people actually thought it was my business because I was doing so well. And I thought, and the more I was networking, I'm a seasoned networker. I do it naturally. I get it. And I get it. It's all about connecting and collaborating and building those relationships. You know, you don't expect business overnight from it, and you can't go in there with a hard sell. Definitely not. But, you know, I built up a massive network.
Do you think networking's massively important?
Oh, very much. Yeah, very much. Definitely. I'd recommend it to everybody. Yeah. And there's so
not
many...
just in the local area, but within any industry or.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's really, really important. And sometimes you might not have to knock a door for the rest of your life if you've got
a wide enough network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically I thought, oh gosh, you know, there's an opportunity here. And because my background is primarily sales, but I get marketing. I'm not a marketing guru, but I get it and I get it. It works together. And I work really, really close with the marketing teams within the corporate businesses that I was with. And so I set myself up as a freelance, as a consultant. So CSC Consultancy was born August 2016. And I went out and work with businesses as an external sales and marketing department. And there was business and there was a need, which I thought, oh, do you know what? This is really, really exciting. And I've always loved my freedom and flexibility anyway, so it was perfect for me. And so I work with businesses that can't afford a full-time sales and marketing manager or a full-time sales manager, but they equally want to grow, they want the sales, they want the processes in place, they want the sales support. And with my 20 years experience, I thought, well, there's an opportunity. So that's when CSC Consultancy was born. And going really, really well.
And what's been the biggest struggle in that period?
Originally, I worked a lot with startups and you know, one-man bands because, you know, they want the results overnight. And I get that totally. But unfortunately with sales, it doesn't happen overnight. It is all about building those relationships and you need time. And when you're working with a client one day a month, that can take some time. And sometimes startups and one-man bands don't have the budget for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I get.
Do you think that's because their narrative or their message isn't clear enough at the formation stage?
Probably a bit of both, really.
Yeah.
It's, you know, no disrespect to any startup or entrepreneur. You know, I take my hat off to them. I think
they're passionate
amazing.
About their product or their service.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so they ought to be. And, you know, we all start from acorns, don't we, into big oak trees. That's where we all start. But equally, I'm trying to help them to put the processes in place. And some of them just want you to be a glorified telesales person. Well, that's not me. I'm not telesales. Yeah. I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and talk to people.
You can outsource that type of resource now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think mainly they needed more lead generation rather than the kind of sales management.
Yeah.
So now I'll only work with kind of SMEs upwards. And so that's the kind of like the challenge that I had originally.
Where do you see the future of CSC Consulting? Where are you going?
Okay. So I've got more into setting up sales processes because I'm naturally very organized. I like detail, and our challenge in a positive way. But I want to be involved more with internal sales processes, but also CRM systems, because CRM is massive now. And there were so many businesses before just using an Excel spreadsheet, which is fine, but it doesn't work long term. And the CRM system, and there's plenty of them around there, and there's plenty that are free.
Yeah.
There's many bespoke, there's many national platform CRM systems. However, using a CRM system properly for their follow-ups and to create their tasks and for their opportunities.
You need to embed that process to make sure that
absolutely.
They are future-proofed.
So this is one of my skill sets that I enjoy, and you can implement that, and it's walking away feeling that you've added value to one, to their business, but also added value, well, to their growth. But I'm also looking at business decluttering as well. And
this really interests me.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it at the moment. I'm going to do a couple of courses, and you know, you can get accreditation for it and a professional qualification for it. But
this isn't going into somebody's wardrobe and taking out their old uniforms, is it?
No, but I'll be good at that as well. Well, my wardrobe is very colour coordinated.
Yeah.
And, you know, my skirts are together, my trousers, yeah, just the way I am. So I'd be good at
military.
That. I know. But do you know what? Even when before I joined the military, I was tidy. I was a tidy young lady.
Do you think the military makes the person, or the person just sort of fits into the military culture because they're that way inclined anyway?
Oh, a bit of both, really.
Yeah. I mean, when I joined the military, I was this shy, timid, ginger-haired,
really?
Skinny lad. Yeah, I was proper, like, strawberry blonde when I was at school.
Wow.
And when I joined the military, I was proper skinny. I was, like, tiny. I was timid. I didn't have any confidence. But the military gave me the ability to, like, I could stand up in front of 1,000 people now
deliver a
speech because
yeah.
Not the old adage of you can picture them all naked, but you just don't care. I don't care what people's opinions are if I stand up in front of them. I'm delivering a talk which I can sort of deliver value from.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really bother me that people
good for
are just,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look what you've achieved.
Yeah.
You know, you've done so well.
Thank you, Caroline.
No, you have. You've got a great business. What is it?
Saleschange.co.uk. Yes. And you're on the Sales Change podcast.
Of course. Thank you.
So we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. And what we do with every single guest is we ask the five same questions at the end.
Yeah.
And so I'll do the same with you. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Do you know what? Even from the age of, I'd say, 15, originally I wanted to join the Navy. I just wanted, and I'm not from a forces family. My dad did national service, God bless him. But I always wanted to join the forces. And I think growing up on the Isle of Wight, there was a lot of Navy because of Portsmouth. And I don't know, I just saw it as an opportunity just to explore and see the world.
It's a guaranteed career path.
Absolutely. And I got two trades out of it, and two great trades.
Do you still cook now?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, ask my husband. I cook from scratch.
What's your go-to favourite dish?
Oh, I do a really good chilli.
Chilli?
Yeah, really, really good chilli. But I love chicken Thai and butternut squash. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
God, my stomach's just rumbled then.
The mic probably didn't pick it up. So out of Instagram, Facebook, Twitter or LinkedIn, which would be your go-to platform?
Oh, Facebook for personal, because it covers every demographic.
Yeah.
And everybody, and LinkedIn definitely for B2B.
Do you find LinkedIn really useful for that kind of networking?
Very much. Yeah. Yeah, although Facebook's really good for networking as well.
I don't really get on with Facebook, but LinkedIn is my go-to platform.
Yeah.
And as soon as you've been introduced to somebody, you can see what their skill sets are, what they can bring to...
That's very true. Everyone that I connect with, I'll always follow up with connecting on LinkedIn. And I'm really surprised in this day and age, there are still a few people that aren't on LinkedIn that go networking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. Okay.
If you're networking in person, follow it up with it's your virtual business card.
And top tip, follow up with a personal message. Don't just click
every
on that
single time.
Connect button. Follow up hello, it was great to meet you at XYZ. Let's connect. You know, I love what you do, or love what you offer, because it just makes them feel good. When I get a personal invite, I just think, oh, that person has made an effort.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn, definitely B2B. I love it.
What's the worst job that you could ever do and why?
Oh, telesales.
Yeah, you touched on it earlier.
Yeah. all day, every day on the phone. Oh gosh, no.
See, that's
no,
the,
thank you.
That's the old style of cold calling. Because
yeah,
when I talk about cold calling for me is where you've identified a business that needs. Because I do B2B cold calling, and typically when I've prepared a list that I'm going to cold call, I'll have identified that the business that I'm calling has that need for the service that I'm offering. Because otherwise, it's just you're trying to sell a fire guard to a to an Eskimo. It's,
yeah, and I've had to do some calls, but it was mainly just to join their supply chain rather than the hard sell, because I just, it's worked for me. I've never done the hard sell,
yeah,
because I've never had to do it. But look at, you know, the results that I've achieved and the awards that I've won. But that was just mainly just building relationships and keep going back, you know, because sometimes it can take 7 times before you actually get that person to listen to you.
Yeah, so many people are one and done.
Oh, yeah. Follow up 10 draws, 10 times, as they say. I think that's what they say. Yeah, but...
we'll go with it anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really, really important. But no, telesales, I would just hate to do that all day, every day. Boring.
What was the last book that you read?
I currently listening, because I use Audible because it's just easy when I'm in the car. I have a busy life. Yeah. I'm a bit of a gym bunny. Alchemist, yeah.
What's the book about?
It's about following your dreams. It's about a shepherd's boy and following his dreams. Yeah, it was recommended to me by quite a few people, so yeah. I would certainly recommend that. And I'm just listening
to
it.
It's a fable type story. Yeah, I've heard of the book. Yeah. We'll add it to the website.
Really good.
We'll add it to the website.
Yeah.
And the final one, which is probably most apt because I've seen your answer, which leader do you look up to the most?
Well, I think as I was growing up, gosh, I think this was late 80s, but Margaret Thatcher, I just thought she was such a strong character.
And a pioneer.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, first female prime minister, you know, and I know she was branded the Iron Lady, but she didn't take any crap. Good on her. And, you know, she went through a lot of troubles. You know, look at the miner strike that she had.
Falklands War,
absolutely. And I think, you know, what she achieved was amazing. And I admired her. She inspired me as a, you know, as a young teenager.
Growing up, yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, empowerment. I love supporting women in business. You know, I launched and managed and set up with Jill Donald Smith, the Successful Women in Business Networking Group, in the Pool Group and the Bournemouth Group, and it's still going very, very strong today. I've been an ambassador for the Women Venus Awards, and I just love supporting women
successful
in business.
Women,
absolutely. Don't get it wrong. You know, I love going to mixed networking groups. I'm a massive supporter with men in business as well. Sometimes I just think women have
to recognize successful women in business is,
yeah, I think
just as important.
Yeah, but absolutely. And I think, no disrespect, but I just think women are slightly better networkers than men. Their follow up's a little bit better.
I think the emotional intelligence,
naturally organized.
I think the emotional intelligence from women does lend itself to better networking.
Yeah,
but I never forget a name. I never forget a face. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
and I have that as well. And I think that's sales.
Yeah, and it when you can recall who you've spoken to.
Yeah,
and their face, and if you see them again, you can instantly recognize them.
Yeah,
it instantly builds that relationship.
Oh, absolutely! It's happened to me, and people are gobsmacked. Wow, Caroline, I'm really impressed that you remember my name. Like, well, why not? It's your name.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've remembered what they actually do. And they haven't got a foggiest who you are.
That's sales 101, that is. Yeah. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you very much. I've really, really enjoyed it. And it's been lovely to chat to you today, Matt. Thank you.
No problem. Whoa. Don't go anywhere yet. Julio, tell people where they can get more information.
If you like the podcast, go visit saleschange.co.uk.
That's good, but you said .do.
Saleschange.co.uk. Why don't you head... No. It's bad. It's bad. Go to saleschange.co.uk and saleschange.co.uk and subscribe to our incredible newsletter. Thanks for listening.